Lord, take these words and plant them deeper into our life. Lord, may they give us tremendous comfort in a world that is very, very turbulent, and probably more turbulent than it's been in a long time. May we be still and know that you're God. May we know you as a God who's an ever-present help in trouble. May we know you as the God who's always with us, we pray. Amen. Pop up the message. So, when I die, I hope I die like my grandfather, who died peacefully in his sleep. Not like the other three passengers that were screaming their heads off. I don't know about you, but as we look at the world, I sometimes feel like our world is headed towards a wall. And these are not in any specific order, but these are some of the things I've thought about that we see in the news, and they're very worrying and troublesome to us. We hear a lot of stuff about global warming. I thought I was coming back to a sort of a cold, leaving Spain and coming back to cold, wet England, but, you know, it's pretty much the Costa del Dachet. Think about national debt, how much debt we have, and the worry of inflation. Think about this problem we have with an aging population and not enough younger people to sort of replace them and to pay for our pensions. Think about the low birth rate, that if it continues in a few generations, two or three, there will be basically no one left living in our world. I was thinking about mental health issues or NEET. That's not in employment, education and training. They're at very high levels and they are causing big problems because our county council budgets are getting eaten up by them, and our county councils are basically going bust because of a lot of people who are suffering from these things. We have the threats of war, of nuclear war. We have AI, wonderful things that AI can do, but as we see, the potential for AI is terrible as well. And we've seen that with M&S, we've seen that with Co-op, and we're very vulnerable. Think about political, social unrest that we see in the world. We've seen a lot of that recently in the US. Pandemics, you know, we're vulnerable to that. We saw that with COVID. And so for me, we have all of this sort of turbulence in our world. And then as we go to the scriptures, and this is something that we share when we look at Romans on our training, is we look at Romans 1 chapter, verses 18 to 32, and we kind of show people that as you let go of God, you slide away. And so people, they become indifferent to God. They don't recognize God in creation. They become idolatrous. It says they begin to worship things rather than the Creator. And then you have a scary verse which says God gave them over. It's like God let them continue. And then they become immoral. And then it says, again, God's the very same lines. God gave them over. And then they go into identity confusion. And then it says, God gave them over. And then they become insane. And I think sometimes we look at our world and we say, wow, what levels of insanity do we have in our world? And I think for many people, as we look at it, it's frightening. It can be frustrating. Because we think, gosh, we're sort of causing all this problem. Or we look at it, we say, man, there's no hope. And so it's facing this kind of catastrophe that the psalmist writes. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. So we're looking this summer at the Psalms, and Psalm 46 I've titled Amen Geddon. And it's just really this idea that the world is very troubling, but we need to have this trust in God in the face of that. Just to sort of give you some context, because the context to the Psalms are very helpful. So this is from a collection of Psalms written by the sons of Korah. So Korah was somebody in the Exodus, and his sons became worship leaders. So it's kind of like Daglish hands it over to Eden and Zion, and they hand it over to their kids, and then they're worship leaders, basically a family of worship leaders, and they write worship songs. We see in the psalm that the city of God is under threat, but it did not fall. And so commentators have looked and thought to themselves, what event was the city under threat and it didn't fall? And the most likely one is the Assyrian invasion under Sennacherib in Isaiah 36 and 37. And they say that because there's also some similarity between the psalm and Isaiah's words. So if you go and read those two chapters, you'll see there is a tiny little bit of similarity between the wording of this psalm. And just to give you some history, Sennacherib, who's the king of Assyria, he surrounds the city. And he mocks God. He says, what kind of God have you got? He mocks Hezekiah. He says, come out of here, you know, give yourself up, you know, you little weakling type of thing. And Hezekiah does something great. He prays to God. He says, God, help me. And Isaiah gets a message from God, and Isaiah is told to go and say to Hezekiah, don't be afraid. God himself will defend the city. You're not going to have to do anything. God is going to defend the city. And we go on to read, God defends the city in an amazing way. It says an angel comes and he strikes dead 185,000 Assyrians. So all the Assyrians that have besieged the city, they die. And Sennacherib himself returns home. And it says when he gets home, he enters his temple. He probably is thanking his God for safe return. Thank you that I wasn't one of those people who died. And we read that he is murdered by one of his sons. And so you have this amazing deliverance of God, of the city. And this is probably what inspired our psalm. Not too clear, but Rick and I had the privilege. We went to visit Joel and Mika. That's eventually to be daughter-in-law. And her parents were over from Indonesia, and they're Batak people. And the Batak tribe comes from Sumatra. And many of the Batak became Christians. And the Muslims came to try to eradicate that. And then there was a plague among the Batak people. And the Muslims got frightened and they scarpered, basically. And they saw that a bit like this psalm as God delivering them from the Muslims. God saving them. God protecting the Christian faith among the Batak people. So I thought that's quite enough, you know, interesting because it's a similarity to that. So I want to sort of draw three lessons, and they're very straightforward lessons. We're just not going to delve into too much depth in them, but these are important lessons from this psalm. God is our ultimate stronghold. We read that God is our refuge. It does not say that God provides refuge. It says God is our refuge. It says in the psalm that God is like a city that cannot be destroyed. So God is like a strong city that can't be destroyed. It talks about God is our fortress. It talks about God's rule being unshaken. We see everything in the world and we think, gosh, our world is so turbulent, but the scriptures say that in the end, God will be glorified. God will have the final word. And it basically says, if our world falls apart, don't be afraid, trust God. And I have to say, I don't know whether you've watched the news lately, but we live actually in very crazy times. They're disturbing times. Rick and I have a little pension and we can sort of see it go up and down, you know. So Donald Trump says something ridiculous, it goes down. Then he changes his mind, it goes up. We're like, just, you know, small off-the-cuff remarks put the world into turmoil. And I found myself in front of all this craziness just saying to God, I intend to keep following you, whatever. I basically said, I'm going to keep calm and carry on following Jesus. I said, I want to try to be a calm leader in all of this craziness. I want to trust in God as my fortress. I want to be all the way in, all the way to the end. And so I think we need to say to ourselves, I need to make God my refuge. Perhaps this is becoming a Christian. Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. And so, I think that's the Miami flight. So Jesus is saying, you know, we are under judgment, but if we trust God, then we get to be in God's refuge, a part of God. But I think it's also ongoing. You know, I prayed this verse, you know, we are to store up treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. In a sense, our trust needs to be in God eternally and not in all these temporal things. These are just gifts and tools that we're given to use and to work with, but they're not things that we are to trust and to worship. We are to trust in God alone. The second great truth from this psalm is that God is with us, and I've added, in everything. So we read here that God is an ever-present help in trouble. You know, he doesn't just show up for a little bit. He's present, always in trouble. It talks about the city of God. Well, it's probably referring to Jerusalem in its context, but the city of God where the Most High dwells. There is only one God. The Most High God dwells. It's probably a picture of heaven too, this eternal city that we'll be part of, where God is at the center and it will not fall. It says God is within her and will help her. So God is, in a sense, as a believer, he's within us through his Spirit and he will help us. And then it says twice, the Lord Almighty is with us. The Lord Almighty, the God of all creation, who is so far above, who is bigger than a universe that's what could be like 40 billion light years wide, who's bigger than that. He's also immanent and he's with us personally. And so we have this amazing truth. But something I really enjoyed as I was reading a commentary by Michael Wilcox on the Psalms, Michael Wilcox, is he says, he asks the question, what is the point of saying the God of Jacob? Because in Jacob's life, he never had an earthquake. We don't know that he even ever visited the sea. You know, did he ever see a big wave roaring? You know, why mention Jacob? And he says that probably they mentioned Jacob because his life was full of ups and downs of another kind. He says his life was kind of the mother of all soap operas. If you read what went on in Jacob's life, it's like a soap opera. We could make quite a good movie about it. But the truth is that in all of this ups and downs of Jacob's life, God took hold of Jacob and used his turbulence and harnessed his energies, he writes, for his own purposes. So God graciously worked good in Jacob's life, even though he was a complex man who lived in a complex family. God worked in his life for good. That was God's grace. And so we might not go through war or famine or an earthquake or a plane crash, but we need to trust that God is present in our lives. God is working good at all times through our lives, through the ups and downs of our lives. And in August, on the middle of August, Jordan is going to talk on Psalm 23 at one of our family services in August. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And so that's a reminder that Jesus is with us. It's not just he leads us from a distance, but he's with us. He's with his sheep, caring for us. He has led us in life. He's lived the life that we could never live. He's led us through suffering, as we saw when we looked at Peter's letters. He's died for us. He's risen for us. A foretaste, as Paul says, of our own resurrection. He's been glorified. And he awaits to glorify us. to say thank you for completing the journey. Come and share my inheritance, I think it says in one of the parables. And it does work out that God is with us. And so this was the 30th of July, 2021. Jordan, do you remember that day, 30th of July, 2021? That was the day that Jordan and I came back to the UK. We came back on the ferry. Sadly, Rikia, her paperwork hadn't come through. She had to stay in Spain. And we had to bring our dog, Wally. There's a little picture of him in the kennels. He had to stay in the kennels. He even got his own little ticket. Small dog, it says there, Kennel 7. And so I wanted to actually just leave him there for the journey and pick him up at the end. But Jordan said, no, we have to go every few hours. So we went every few hours and we'd creep around. I think that was taken because he'd start yapping if he saw us. But we put the camera around, took a picture, and there he was sitting waiting for us. But every time we went to check on Wally, there was a man there with a black labradoodle. And eventually I talked to him. I said, well, how are you doing? And he told me his name was Tim and that he had been working for 24/7 in Ibiza. That's the prayer ministry, 24/7. And so he told me, I was a pastor in Ibiza. I said, well, me too. I was a pastor in Madrid. He said, I've been leading an English congregation. I said, me too. I've been leading an English congregation in Madrid. He said, I've been through a really hard time and I actually had a breakdown. And I had to get counseling and rebuild my life. I said, well, me too. I went through a very hard time and I had to sort of have a lot of help and rebuild my life. He said, I'm moving back to the UK with my dog and my bike and my wife is flying on the plane with my kids. I couldn't say me too because my wife was stuck back in Spain, but it was quite pretty close. I said, well, I'm coming back with Jordan and our dog and we're moving back to England. And we ended up praying right there on the deck. We said, let's just pray together. This is like incredible. We prayed there. And I thought to myself, when I lay in bed, I was like, what are the chances that the only person on the ferry that I talked to is in a very similar situation to me? He's a pastor. He's gone through a hard time. He's moving back to England. I thought to myself, it's a little miracle. And I felt in that moment God saying to me, I am with you in your move to the UK. I'm going before you. You can trust me. And I have looked back at that and it's given me a lot of peace whenever I've thought, you know, what am I doing in England? I mean, I love it at this church, I have to say. But as I have any doubts about what is God doing, I look back and say, God was there. He was leading me and he's with me right now in this moment. The last lesson is God is God. It might seem a little odd, but it says here that he's the Most High. It talks about nations in uproar, but he says that the kingdoms will fall, the earth will melt at his voice. If you go and read Revelation in Armageddon, the big battle, Christ defeats evil by his word alone. It's not like this arm wrestle, like who's going to win? It's not like that. God allows evil because he's waiting for people to be saved. But when the end comes, it says, he just says enough. Finished. It's done. There's no equal. God is so much greater. He's, you know, omnipotent. He's without any limit to his power. He's described as the living God that acts. And that's what you see in Isaiah 36 and 7. The living God acted. He saved the city without anyone lifting a finger. God did it without any help. It talks about the desolations he has brought on the earth. We've brought a lot of desolations on ourselves. But God will bring a final desolation. It says he will utterly end all wars and weapons. They'll be shattered and destroyed. And then it says, be still and know that I'm God. And then it says, God of the nations, God of the whole earth. And so it's just remind us that God is God. God is God. It's not like, you know, God's here. God is so much more powerful. We need to trust in him that he's in control. This world might be out of control, but God is still in control. And I try to think of what are some ways that we can be still and know that he is God. One of the ways, I think, is to have a daily quiet time. I think it's great if you just take a moment at the beginning of your day just to read some scripture and say, I want to be still in our world and know that you're God. I want to stop. I want to breathe, as Hud said. I want to calm myself, and I want to know through your word that you're God. Some people do scripture memorization. I have to admit, I do Googleization or whatever you call it, where I just think, oh, that's kind of what it says. Let's Google it, and I find it. But it's great to remember the scriptures. Or as I prepare these messages, I remember some of the key lines, and I pray them back like I was this morning when I was lying in bed. I was thinking about these words like, God is our refuge. Be still and know that I'm God. I find journaling very helpful. You know, our minds, the world, and you just put it down on paper and you say, all of my emotions are like, but that is what my heart of hearts are saying. I'm going to put it on paper. It helps me to focus. Maybe having time for reflection, go on holiday or just have time for reflection. Some people are really touched by nature. Just go and have a nice walk by the river or something. Just connect with God and be still and know that he's God. And it's very interesting too, because in Mark's gospel, slightly different story, but I think it's connected. Jesus was fast asleep in the boat and there was a big storm. If you remember in Mark's gospel, there was this tremendously big storm. Jesus was sleeping like a little baby on a pillow, you know. And they woke him up and they were like, Jesus, don't you care that we're going to drown? And it just says, Jesus got up, he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. And it says the wind died down completely. It was calm. And then they said to each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. I think it's a picture of what was going on in the psalm. Jesus says, be still to the waves. And he says to the disciples, and you know that I'm God. You know, people say, well, the idea that Jesus was God came a bit later, maybe the 3rd century. No, it's right there in the text, because the disciples would have known these psalms off by heart. And they'd have heard those words, be still. And they would have said, woo, it went still. That guy before us is God. And we need to remind ourselves that Jesus is God. And because of him coming to earth, because of him dying, because of his resurrection, because of his glory, we can just trust all these things when we're going through a hard time. We can be still and know that he's God. The people, they were surrounded by a foreign army. And God rescued them. And the psalmist writes, be still and know that he is God. I meet Tim on a ferry. God does a little miracle. And God is kind of saying to me, be still in your move to the UK and know that I am God. And I don't know what storms are in your life. I don't know what storms we will have to face in our world, what we'll have to face as a community. But we're just told, in all of that, be still and know that I'm God. So Amen Gedden. It created some confusion, you know. People are like, what are you talking about? Did you spell it wrong? I said, no, it's supposed to be Amen Gedden. But the reason why I thought of this title is because of Armageddon. This is the last great battle. We don't know whether it's completely literal or how it will be, but it's this last great battle between good and evil. Peter talks about the world ending by fire. Jesus talks about wars, famine, these things that are the birth pangs of the end. We think about poverty or facing death, all these things. And we need to remind ourselves, in the face of all of this, God is our refuge. Where we go to him for refuge. God is with us. God is God. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, thank you that you are our refuge, an ever-present help in trouble. Lord, the psalmist has said over and over again, God is with us in everything, in the big turbulences of our world, but in the smaller turbulences of our lives and relationships. But we're also reminded that God is God. God is the God who is above everything, who has always existed, does exist, will always exist, who is writing history for his own glorification, who will one day end all evil by his word alone. And we need to trust in you as the God who is God. And Lord, whatever happens, be it small, be it great, may we be able to say, amen, I'm keeping on following you. I'm going to be still and know that you're God in my life, in our world, in our community. And so, Lord, take these words and bless them to us, I pray. Amen.